Okay, Shalom Aleichem, good vach. Today's daf is Pesach and Daf Yedalad, and I really stopped a couple of lines too early last time on Erev Shabbos. I should have really gotten up to the Mishnah on Yedalad, but either way, we're at the bottom of Yigimel Amud Beis, just a little bit to finish up here in Hilchos Bdikas Chametz, and then really that's kind of it for the rest of the Masechta. We're going to transition up to something totally different, but either way, the last thing we've been talking about was the signals that they had in the Beis Hamikdash to tell Am Yisrael what time it was on Erev Pesach, meaning was it Mutar Deed Chametz, was it Aser? So we had said they had these two loaves of bread on top of the Itztava. We kind of discussed what the nature of those roles were. And then we said when one was taken away, so then it was no longer, you could no longer eat Chametz, but it was still in the middle, it was still tolling, it was the fifth hour, you could give it to your animals, but you couldn't eat it, and you shouldn't burn it. And then when they were both gone, so then it was the beginning of the sixth hour, and you could burn the chametz. So Abba Shaul says that it was a little bit different. Tanya Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Shtei paros hayu chorshos bahar hamishcha. There were two cows, actually, plowing up on Har Ezesim, on the mountain. Mishcha literally means... what's it called? Rashi says who Har Ezesim, but Shemen HaMishcha, referring to oil, right? Har Ezesim, right? Olives make oil. Anyway, so Kol Zman Shesteim Chorshos, as long as they were both plowing, so then Kol Ha'am Ochlin, everybody was still eating Chametz. Nitzlis Achas Mehen, once they took one cow away, so then that was the signal for Tolin, that they should suspend the eating, meaning no longer should eat Chametz, but you can still give it to your animals. And then, as the Gemara explains, lo ochlin v'lo sorfin, and then nit l'shteyan, and if they took both of them away, meaning once the cows were gone, so then itchilu kol am sorfin, that's everybody started burning their chametz. Okay. Now, this is going to be very different from what we've been doing up until now, and a little bit, I don't want to say harder, but definitely requires more background than what we've been doing up until now, right? We've been pretty grounded in Erev Pesach, we all have experience with that. This is already going to be, it's not the same issues as Erevin, but it's going to be similar to Erevin in that it really requires a lot of background to learn. But once you have the background down, so then it's really not so bad. This is the Gemara is called Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, which is basically how the Gemara the Mishnah starts off here. It's going to take us about a week or so. It's really a lot about Tuma and Tara. We're going to discuss as follows. I mean, it's really important to kind of like go through these rules at the beginning, and then a lot of stuff, instead of explaining it in line, it's probably really, it's probably, I would imagine it's easier to have these down in your head before we start doing it. So basically like this. Tumah, obviously, is created when there's some sort of, there's a bunch of options. Either something that is dead, like a dead animal, which is a nevela that's not been shechted, or a sheretz, one of the creepy crawling things. They eat creepy crawling species that will be metame. Obviously, if someone passes away, so then a dead body is going to create tumah. But there's also tumah that is created by a person who's alive, but that has some sort of weird, unusual situation going on with their body, either some sort of emission, or maybe a nida, or maybe someone who's a mitzora, and maybe there's been a mitzvah shem, a happier thing, a childbirth. That also creates tumah. A dead body, let's take just a human dead body, so that is going to be an av ha-tumah. That's, as the phrase goes, that's the father of tumah, but literally that's the highest level. I take it back. The body itself is an avia vosa tumah, is like literally means the grandfather of tumah, right? But that's the highest, not highest level, but that's the most tumah, if you will, not really, but the most tumah. Somebody who touches a dead body, for example, will become an ava tumah, and this is the rule that we have to get down, is that in most cases tumah goes down when it is transmitted, meaning. If a dead body is an avia vosa tumah, so someone who touches that is an ava tumah. Someone who touches an ava tumah will then become a rishon tumah, and then that goes down rishon, sheni, shlishi, and revi. Now shlishi and revi are only shayach to kachim and truma. I think the other way around. Sorry, truma and kachim. But okay, either way, we'll get to that. But then again, the rule to be keep in mind is that tumah goes down every time it is transmitted, almost always. We'll see some exceptions on today's daf. In terms of stuff that can become tame, so we had already, you know, we talked a couple times in this stuff you only cycle about something that's mechuba lakarka, something that's attached to the ground, which cannot become tame. But most things can become tame. People, clothing, utensils, food, and drink. Now, food obviously has to, we've mentioned several times already, it has to be liquefied, has to be touched by liquid, yad shachadam, then it has to be enabled to become, to be makabel tuma. That's a din that has to be finally, you know, prepared. Okay, either way, we'll get to that. Meat, now, there's a difference, there's just, again, we said that there's all these levels of tuma, right, and avin arishon, that's d'oraisa, the sheni shlishi nirvi, that is d'rabbanan, and that's also only shayach to foods, meaning if a person would touch a rishon, so midaraisa, he would not become, and I think even midarabbanan, if I'm not mistaken, he would not become tame. Okay, what else? Right, meaning, okay, so in terms of food, so food can become a shlishi, and that will in turn be metame truma. And if something becomes a revi, so that can only affect kodshim. Once you get down to those lower levels, right, right, meaning food can become, meaning can be messed over if it's a sheni. Truma can be messed, can become tame if we're talking about a shlishi, and kodshim can be messed over, it can be become tame if we're talking about a revi. Now, okay, what else here? Obviously, to become tahor, you need to go to the mikvah. In certain scenarios, you need to wait for nightfall as well. That's called Harev Shemesh. And someone who has gone to the mikvah but is waiting for nightfall, he is called a Tvul Yom. And that, you know, that person still needs to wait to eat Truma and Kachim, etc. And there's also a scenario where, let's say, a Zav needs to bring a Korban the following day. So you have to, there's a three-pronged procedure to becoming Tahor. Someone who, let's say, was Azov, would go to the mikvah on the day he's supposed to become Tahor. He has to wait for the nightfall, Harif Shemesh, and then the following morning, he needs to bring some sort of korban, depending on what it is. That until he brings the korban, he's called something called Mechusar Kippurim. He's lacking, literally means lacking the kippur, the atonement, and also cannot, that guy also cannot eat kodshim. Let's see here. And okay, in terms of language, so yeah, I guess the last thing just to mention, we'll see this on Amma Beis. Well, you know what, we can get to there. We can talk about it when we get there. All right, either way. Okay, so let's with that little bit background, hopefully I said things, you know, somewhat clearly. And either way, we'll try and explain it in line as best we can. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim Omer. Now, Sgana Kohanim was basically the vice president, right? He was the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, and he was, this is Rabbi Chanina, at least this one was his name. Mi'imeim shal Kohanim lo nimnu milistrof es habasar shenitma bevladatoma im habasar shenitma be'avatoma. Whoa, that's a lot. So let's dissect that. So in the days of the Kohanim, they didn't refrain, meaning they always did. They did do this, right? They would burn meat that became tame through a vlada tuma. A vlada tuma meaning referring to a rishon sheni shlishi revi. So let's say you had meat that was became tame from a rishon. Therefore is the meat is a sheni. So im abasar shenitma ba'avatuma, they would burn that with the meat that became tame from an avatuma. Meaning there's meat that touched an avatuma. A person touched the dadi and then touched meat. So that person is an avatuma, and the meat therefore is a regional latuma. So they would not refrain from burning meat that was a sheni latuma from meat that was a regional latuma. Meaning they would burn them together. Even though, right, you would add on tuma to the sheni by burning it with a rishon. Now, Rashi will point out, the Gemara is going to ask right away, well, what happens if meat that's tahor touches a rishon? It becomes a sheni. So you're not really doing anything by burning a sheni with a rishon, because the most the sheni would become is a sheni. And what happens when you touch a rishon? You become a sheni. So you burn the sheni with the rishon. You're not really adding any tumas. The Gemara will ask that right straight away. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on the following. Ve'amar, he said, Mimeim shel Kohanim, during the times of Kohanim, lo nimnu mi lahadlik es ha-shemen shenifsa batul yom b'ner shenitma b'tamim eis. Rabbi Akiva adds another level that even not only that, but they also would not refrain from, meaning they would do this, from burning oil that was nifsal b'tzvul yom. Again, it became posel through a tzvul yom. It became tamei. Now, this is the phrase I probably should have said before. Is it the difference between posel and tamei, simply in terminology, is that tamei can transmit tumah to something else. If something is posel, it's at the end of the road, meaning it in and of itself is no good, but it can no longer transmit tumah to anything else, meaning it's hit the last level of tumah for that item. So, for example, in here, if the shemen touched a tzvul yom, so then it's going to be a shlishi. And again, a tzvul yom is someone who went to the mikveh, is waiting for the sundown to come, as we mentioned before. So if that person touches something, so the oil is going to become a shlishi. So a shlishi the tumah. So they would burn that oil in a lamp that was tamei mace, that was made tamei by touching a dead body, right, which technically was either an avar rishon, depending on what it is, and we'll see that it makes a difference what it's made out of. Afal pishim mosifim tumah al tumah. So even though that would increase tumah to that item. Right, again, if the shlishi touches a rishon, right, then it becomes a sheni. So now it's moving up from a shlishi to become a sheni. That did not bother the kohanim. They would still burn the oil. And that was mutter to make it more tameh, quote unquote, in their disposing of it. Am Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, "Midivreim lamanu." From these words of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva, we learn that shesorf and truma tahora imat tameh of a Pesach. You can burn truma tahora with truma tameh on Pesach, meaning on erev Pesach. Meaning, for whatever reason, you have chametz that's truma, and it's about both of them are about to become right usur b'hana, so you can burn them together. When in general, there's an isur to burn truma to get rid of truma, but if you have to burn truma, so then if it's chametz, and you're gonna have no benefit from it, so then you got to burn it. Right? Once already, you're not going to eat it, so then you can even there's no problem according to Rabbi Meir even to make it tamei. Now Rabbi Yossi enohi amida. That's not the same. No, that's not the same thing, right? It's one thing to add tumah to something that's already tamei. It's another thing to make something tamei straight up. Umudim Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Shesorf and Zula Atma v'Zula Atma, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yeshua agree. Rabbi Chanina is, I think, next. Maybe not. Anyway, so Rabbi Chanina is kind of gone. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree, meaning that you can burn them separately. But al-mel nechukur, what's the machlokas? Alatluya v'alatameya. Whether you have truma that is talui, meaning that's a suffix, whether it's tamei tahor, and burning tamei truma. Sherabi Eliezer, Omer tisov zula atma v'zula atma, that Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you have truma that's suffix tahor and suffix tamei, you need to burn that separate from truma tameya. And Rabbi Yeshua, Omer shtem kachas, you can burn them together. Okay. Fine. Now, the Gemara says, addresses our issue right away, that it's seemingly, according to Rabbi Chanina, that if you burn meat that's a sheni l'tuma with meat that's a rishon l'tuma, you're not adding any tuma whatsoever, right? Now, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, Sgana Kohanim? When he says that you can burn these two types of meat together, again, as we said, tuma usually goes down when it comes in contact with something else. So if something's a rishon, it's going to be metame meat, it'll turn it into a sheni. So burning a rishon with a sheni seemingly is not going to increase any tumah whatsoever. Michti, let's see. Basar shenitzmet bevlada tumah, my havi. What meat that was became tameh through touching a vlada tumah, meaning a rishon l'tumah. My havi, again, av, right, is the father, and then the vlad is a child. So anything that touches an av becomes a rishon. So whenever you have the phrase vlada tumah, that's at least a rishon. Right, at most a rishon, meaning a rishon, you should know less, but let's say it's a rishon. So what happens when you are metameh meat, something touches a vlada toma, a rishon toma, my havi sheni, it becomes a sheni. So kisarifli behadi baser shenitma bava toma, my havi sheni. And so when you burn the sheni the toma with meat that was tome from an avatoma, my havi sheni, right? Sheni v'sheni. So then you're just turning right. Both of them are a sheni the toma, right? My mosav l'tuma, tuma so ika, right? What at what point are you adding tuma? So Rabbi Yehuda, hacha b'vlad askinan. But here we're talking about a vlad of a vlad. So meaning that's talking, meaning we're referring to that the meat that we're referring is a shlishi. meaning it wasn't bimetame from a vlada tuma, it was metame from a vlada vlada tuma, i.e. it was metame from a sheni. And therefore the meat is actually a shlishi. So what are you doing? You're burning the shlishi with the rishon, and that's adding, meaning that's turning the shlishi into a sheni, and that's adding tuma al tuma. So v'shkazavar, Rabbi Chanina holds shlishi mutter lasas o sheni, and that's what we're saying. That's mutter to make a shlishi into a sheni. The Gemara says, one second, v'ha'ein ocho metame ocho. One second. Meat is not metame meat. The Tanya, like Rolando Bray, so yocho yehi ocho metame ocho. You might have thought that meat does metame other meat. Right, Tama Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, v'chiyutan mayim alzerev, v'nafal minivasama, alav tame. Right, that's the pasuk we quote to say that you need to have water to fall on fruit to make it become hechshel lakabel tuma. So meaning hu tame, meaning this, if water falls on the seed, right? And what's the literally the pasuk means? If there's water that falls on seeds, right? And then you find minivlasam from their dead bodies, meaning asheretz, on this seed, so then tamehu, then it becomes tame. Hu tame vein osake yotzebo tame. So we darshan out that the seed itself is tame, but it's not going to make anything else tame, meaning it's not going to be metame any other seeds. Right? So you see that you can't transfer food from one to the next. So the Gemara is going to say that that's only a question according to one opinion. Right? That's actually a machlokas, whether food can transmit tuma to other foods, in terms of, you know, different, well, we'll see in a second. But so the Gemara is like this. Hanichal Abayi. So this is not a question according to Abayi. Damar lo shanu ela b'chulin. Because that food can only be metame food if it's chulin. Avol b'truma v'kachim osa kayotzibo. But if it's truma or kachim, i.e. like in our case over here, right, which we're talking about, so then food can transfer tuma from one food to the next, if it's the same type of tumah. So over here, we're dealing with two meats, and that's kachim, and therefore, you know, everything is fine, because we're talking about transferring tumah from meat to meat, which is kachim, and that's fine according to Abayi. Ulravada bar ahava meshmei derava nami. That also works according to Ravada bar ava, the Amar who says, lo shono ela b'chulin b'trumah, that when do we say that you can't transfer tuma from food to food? That's by regular food, by chulin and truma. Avo b'kachim, but by kachim, osa kayotzibah, and then food that is the same, meaning let's say meat and meat, that will transfer tuma. And that's exactly what we're talking about over here. So that's how Rabbi Chanina can say, oh, we're not afraid to burn two types of tame meat together, because it's going to transfer tuma from one meat to the next. So therefore, shapir, so that all works. But ela l'ravina mishmei derava. But for, according to Ravina, in the name of Rava, right, the Amar Mikra Mali Dibura Kasuv, that you have this whole pasuk that teaches us loshna chulim, loshna truma, loshna kachim, that there is no difference between any type of food, meaning even meat that's kachim will not transfer between one to the next. Eino osa kayotzi bo ma'ikal mimar, so it's not going to transfer tuma. So what are we dealing with? Meaning, why would we, Rabbi Chanina, have a problem to say that there is a transfer of tuma from meat to meat? We're talking about the liquid on top of the meat, right? That's the rishon that we're talking about. So therefore, the shlishi meat is becoming tame through the rishon liquid. And that's the addition of tuma that Rabbi Chanina was telling us that we're still okay with, even though it's adding on tuma. So Gemara says, "Ihachi." Well, that's it. We're talking about the liquid. So I imbasar shnitma bava tuma, right? What do you mean? It's the language of the Mishnah was that you're burning it with the meat that became tamei through an avatuma. So in basar v'nashkei meboyalei, should have mentioned that in the Mishnah. Should have mentioned the liquid. So elas, no, it must be that this is the pshat. That nihide ein ochel matame ochel midaraisa ein achinami midaraisa. Food is not matame food midaraisa, but midrabanan mihu matame. Midrabanan meat will transfer tuma to meat according to Ravina, the name of Rava. And so Rabbi Chanina is teaching us that it's mutter to burn a shlishi with a rishon, even though that will add on tuma midrabanan. That's still okay. Okay, so that's the pshat. Now, once we're going from a shlishi to a rishon, according to Rabbi Chanina, so then we have to explain what Rabbi Akiva is adding, because we originally understood Rabbi Akiva's case is also going from a shlishi to a rishon. So why would you tell me that twice? So that's the Gemara does right now. So Hosiv Rabbi Akiva, etc. Mimeim shel kohanim nimnim lehadlik, etc., etc., etc. Right. So the Gemara says michti. One second. Shemen shenifsal b'tzvul yom mayhavi. Right, what was the case? You have oil that's touched touches a tefillah yom, someone waiting for nightfall after he went to the mikvah. So what happens to that oil if it touches him? So then shlishi, that oil becomes a shlishi. What happens when you light it in a lamp that touched someone who was tamei meis, right? Meaning someone who was navatoma. So the lamp becomes a rishon. So my havi, what happens to the oil that's in the lamp? So then it's a sheni, right? Again, everything goes down. The person who is tamei meis, he's an avatoma, touches the lamp is a rishon, the oil in the lamp is a sheni. So my kamash balan, so what's Rabbi Kiva's chiddush? Shlishi mutar lasas a sheni? Well, you're telling me that you're allowed to make a shlishi, turn it into a sheni? So hainu hach, that's exactly the same point as Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Halchapaner shena matech es askinan. And like I said before, it depends on what it's made out of. Here we're dealing with a metal lamp, and there's a special din by metal. And Rachmana Amar, the Pasuk says, Bachal al Cherev. The Pasuk is talking about Bachal al Cherev, Obe Meis. The full Pasuk is over here in the Torah, or, yeah. V'chol asher yiga al pnei asadeh, anything that touches on the field, Bachal al Cherev, Obe Meis, Obe Etz Madam, Obe Cover, Yitma Shivas Yamin. The Pasuk says that someone who died by a cherev, by a sword, right? And we learn, cherev harehu kecholol, that the cherev is like the dead body, meaning that there's a special din by metal that usually tumah goes down a level, but let's say a sword sticking into a dead body, so that is the same as the dead body, and it's not an avatumah, it's an avia avosatumah. So therefore, right, so the meaning, so therefore the metal that is touching the body acquires the same tumah as the nifter, and then v'havile avatuma, and then the lamp, meaning who was tame, then is an avatuma. Right. So then, what happens? Right, and therefore, meaning the lamp, the metal is an avatuma, and then when you pour the oil in, that the oil is there a rishon, meaning the lamp is not a rishon, the lamp is an avatuma, because savar shlishi muter lazo so rishon. And we hold that this is where Rabbi Kiva is coming to teach us that you're not making a shlishi into a sheni, you're even making a shlishi into a rishon, and that's also okay. And that's Rabbi Kiva's chiddush, that you can even turn a shlishi oil into a rishon oil. Okay, the Gemara says, "Umay duchke Rabbi Yehuda lo kmi b'ner shel mateches." Well, one second. Why do we need to say that it's made out of metal? Right, that the lamp is made out of metal? No kmi b'ner shel cheres. Why don't we just say that it's made out of pottery? Which also, again, will become a rishon when you touch someone who's tamei meis, and the oil therefore becomes a sheni, right? I v'umay hosif. So what's the chiddush? You're still turning the oil from a shlishi to a sheni. Hosif, he's adding to ilu hasam tamei v'tamei, because over there in Rabbi Chanina, what happened? Right, we had meat that was tamei and meat that was tamei. V'ilu hacha pasul v'tamei. Here, something is tamei, but the oil is now. Meaning, but the oil that we started with was pasul. Meaning, in Rabbi Chanina's case, they were both tamei and tamei. The kachim meat was a shlishi, the other kachim meat was a rishon. Kachim meat can turn other kachim meat, it can turn other meat into a revi. A revi can make other, meaning is no good for kachim. So when meat is a shlishi, it still can turn other things into and still can transmit tumah. If something is pasul, meaning if you have oil that's a shlishi, right? Shlishi, oil is mistama, says Rashi. We're talking about oil that's truma. Truma stops at the shlishi level. It doesn't go on to a revi. So once a truma oil is a shlishi, it's pasul. It's not tame. It can no longer transmit tumah to anything else. Now the chiddush, according to Rabbi Akiva, why, meaning we're suggesting, why didn't we just say that Rabbi Akiva is coming to teach us that you're allowed to turn oil that's pasul, that can no longer transmit tumah, into oil that's tame, into oil that can transmit tumah by bumping it up a couple of levels. Agav, it doesn't make sense over here, Rashi says, to say that we're talking about oil that's kachim, because the only oil that's kachim is in the korban mincha, and you can't burn it after you mix it into the korban mincha. So if you're able to burn it in a lamp, it must be oil that was truma. So again, why don't we say that's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? So Amarava mashnisin kshiste, because the language of the Mishnah made Rabbi Yehuda say that it must be talking about matetel. Mateches, which is metal. My area, the tani ner shenitma b'tami mace. Because what's the language of the Mishnah? That you have a lamp, that was tamei through tamei mace, through a person, meaning a person that was tamei mace who had touched the dead body, so then touched the lamp. Why do you need to say he's tamei mace? You can just say that the guy touched a sheretz. What's the difference? What is tamei mace? What does it matter? Right? If the lamp was made out of pottery and it was a rishon, so it doesn't matter who he touched. Right? It doesn't. We would have known that he touched an avatama. Right? Meaning you don't need to tell me that it was tamei mace. We could have had any tuma that was related. What's the difference between? Meaning, what is the crucial detail of being tamei mace? Come to tell me, the only difference between tamei mace and tumas sheretz is that it makes metal; it changes the status of metal differently. So, ela, as the Gemara says, ela ezu davar shachaluka tum aso bein tumas mace le sheretz. What's the only item that's different in terms of tuma when it's touching a mace versus when it's touching a sheretz? Haviomer, that's the matachas. So you have to say that it's metal. Meaning when metal touches a sheretz, so then it still goes down. The only time metal touches a dead metal stays the same level is when it touches a tamei mace. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda decided that Rabbi Akiva was giving the chiddush that you're allowed to go from a shlishi to a rishon and not from something that's pasul to something that's tamei. Okay. Amar Rava, I hope you're still with me. We'll go to the two knots today. Shmamina, we learned from this whole, now that we explained Rabbi Akiva, that Kasavar Rabbi Akiva, Tumas Mashkin, Latami Acherim De'oraisa, that the ability for liquids, for drinks, to be Matami other things, is De'oraisa. Now it's a Machokas later. We're going to see that, I forget if it's tomorrow or the day after. But there's machlokas as to whether liquids are metame midaraisa or midarabanan. So the Gemara here is saying is that Rabbi Akiva must be agreeing with those who say that liquid can be metame midaraisa. Because if you're telling me that it's only darabanan, so that doesn't make so much sense. Because michti, let's see. Hai ner maikam hanya le'a shemen. What is the oil doing? Meaning, what does it matter whether the oil is a shlishi or a rishon? Right? Ila absolutely gufe. If you're telling me it itself is no good, so I pass the bakai. It's already no good. Meaning, you already can't use it. Right? It's already tame. It's already a shlishi. Meaning, what's the difference between going from a shlishi to a rishon? Right? So, going from a shlishi to a rishon, right? It can now be metame other things. So you see that being metame other things. Is d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, "Well, where'd you get that from? Maybe that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove a thing. Maybe it's just be mitame other things d'rabanan." So the Gemara says, "Imi d'rabanan, my area of avatuma." So if it was midrabanan, so why does Rabbi Akiva say that the lamp is an avatuma, and that i.e. therefore the oil is a rishon? Afil barishon shemi nami tchila havi. And even if it was the lamp was a rishon or a sheni, it would still be considered a rishon midarabanan. Right? That's a didarabanan, which we're going to say right now. That if oil touches something that's a rishon or a sheni, it still becomes a rishon midarabanan to be metame other things. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah. Kala posel is a truma. Anything that messes up truma, right? Anything that will pasel truma, meaning a sheni that will turn truma into a shlishi. Metame mashkin lios tchila will make liquids into a rishon. That's something that can transmit tuma. Chutz mitzvul yom, except for a tzvul yom, that does not make liquids into a rishon. So then elish ma'aminah midaraisa, meaning from the fact that Rabbi Akiva is saying that we're turning it into a rishon, meaning why did Rabbi Akiva say that it needs to be in an avatuma? Meaning even if it was a rishon atuma. So since Rabbi Akiva's example was the case of a lamp that was an avatuma, so then mistama he's talking midaraisa because midarabanan, even if the lamp was a rishon or a sheni, the oil would still become a rishon midarabanan. So alishma mina daraisa, it must be that Rabbi Akiva is talking on a daraisa level. Okay, we'll stop at the two dots over here because that's already going to go. That sugi is going to go onto the Tesvav and Aleph. Hope that was somewhat clear, and I apologize if it was not. But definitely something that requires chazara with these gemaras. But either way, stick with it. We got about a week of these, and Mitzvah Shem will be able to chazar them together afterwards. Okay, have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.